Any final thoughts before we get into our recording session? You should have just snuck something else in there. You should have done, like, me gusta. Or, like, one of those other old memes. Once again, from Reese Pfeiffer Hall in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, we've got another exciting episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. Just the three of us today will get you through the rest of the seasons. Particularly, we'll get Hannah's thoughts on the University of South Carolina series. We'll also talk about the upcoming Iron Cup, first time that the women's teams will be facing off against the University of Auburn versus the University of Alabama in women's ice hockey. And then we got a fun to off-schedule topic that we'll be discussing here on episode 4. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson. That's Anna Alpern, Preston McElhaney. Proud to be with you in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Quick thing to address off the bat. We were planning on bringing a guest in this week. We had a couple of people that their scheduling commitments would not align. We also had a couple people who did put in requests and everything. Initially, the plan was to have at least one episode with all four of us co-hosts here at the helm. Kate Aitchison is out today, unable to make it. Originally, she was going to be here, and we were just going to have us four talking, because normally our equipment only has four collar clip microphones. We rent these from the Gorgas Library here on campus, and both systems they had, the one we tried to rent this week was under repairs, and the other one was rented by another student. It's first come, first served basis, so we're hoping that the audio quality is good on this. If it's not, it's because you got these two little dots here that you hope this stuff works, but joys of technology, right?
Absolutely.
Is that all you got? Absolutely.
It's tech. I mean, there's only so much you can say about tech. I mean,
there's a lot of things you can say about tech.
It's a game of trial and error.
But just to clarify, this was not any of us deciding, no, we don't want certain people on the podcast, because those of you who filled out the interest form, we do have people lined up, but there were some topics or some people that wanted to come on the show that it kind of makes more sense for us to save that for when the women's team is in the off season, because there are a lot of players and staff members from the men's ice hockey teams that want to be on the show and would love to have them. They're all incredible. It's just one of those where it makes more sense. We wanted to make sure we were focusing on the Iron Cup that's coming up, because on paper this was supposed to be the last. This was supposed to be the last set of regular season games for the semester for the women's team. That's another thing we're actually going to talk about on today's show, the added tournament that the teams are going to participate in. But just to clarify, this was not a slight at anybody. Originally, we were going to have four co-hosts here. Again, Kate, unable to be here today. So I promise we are going to get more people on the show. We're going to get more guests in and try to mix in some more things and still have the lively, great conversation for everything as well. But wanted to start out. Hannah was on the other side of the camera, or on the other side of the microphone recording software last week with Kira Duffany, who was on the show. And there were a couple of times you kept looking over and you were in laughing fits at some of the silly things that Preston was saying. The rest of us were cracking jokes about and everything. But your thoughts on last week's podcast?
I loved last week's podcast. It was one of my favorite episodes we've done, and I wasn't even on it. But it was just like, it was such a natural flow between like the conversation with Kira and everything. And she was just such an awesome perspective to have, because that was our first guest we've had who's been like on ice.
Yeah.
And so it's just cool to have that perspective, but also like after knowing Savannah's perspective on like the manager side of things, having a captain's perspective.
On that thought as well, I know that you make sure you're well prepared on the segments you're going to go into. Yes. So I know you had a couple thoughts on the South Carolina series, even though you were not on the road for that one. So wanted to make sure you got a chance to talk about your thoughts on at the women's hockey team on the road in Irmo, South Carolina.
Yes. So obviously Saturday wasn't the outcome we had would have liked to see, but I loved how both games were close and intense games. And then Sunday we came back and obviously won. But I saw Morgan on Sunday just around campus, and she was like, we're just talking about it, catching up, and she was like, those are almost more fun games for us to play rather than the Georgia game where you win 15-2. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yes, like I get that. And those are almost more fun games personally for me to report on because there's more to talk about, more I want to get at with like the players and coaches and their perspectives on the game. So I thought it was a great series overall. So.
And that even adds on, Preston, because I'm looking at the stat line for the women's hockey team right now. But through the season so far, heading into this weekend, they're averaging 8 goals scored per game. I mean, the lowest scoring game they had was their first loss of the season, where they lost 4-6. But that's just only half of what their average score is on the rest of them, and then a bounce back. But you talk about how hard it is to score goals in the rink, but to have an average of 8 goals per game and 3.7 goals against per game shows you how good this team is.
Absolutely, and I think one of the things that I'm looking at the most is how Alabama compares to their game against Auburn last year when they played the exhibition game. You know, mm-hmm. Alabama, what was the score of that? I think they broke 20 in that one.
Something like that.
I'm about to say, no, so Alabama was just, you know, all firepower. And granted, I understand that it was an exhibition game and there's a little more at stake with this one. But it makes me wonder if Alabama's going there with a little bit of added confidence because they're like, okay, we've seen this school, at least, like, they're looking at the logo and thinking, okay, maybe we got it. And then, you know, it's a rivalry game,
so
that adds on to it, you know, the biggest one we got. So I think it's just going to be a fun game all around. I can't wait to see what the team does.
To give you the accurate scores on that, January 26th in their exhibition in Pelham, 20-0 against the Tigers, and then next day on January 27th, 18-1 in those scrimmages in that regard. And then they played them again at the Cool Sports Icerium, I believe that's how it's pronounced, March 24th, 8-0 shutout in that regard. So only one goal allowed to, if my math is right, that's, let's see, 38. I should know math, but 46-1, I don't see anybody questioning me on that, but 46-1 was essentially the goal differential in total for those three games. And granted, different circumstances because you have seniors that have graduated and other people that have moved on and such, but gives you an interesting thing to think about heading into this season as well. And one thing, before we get into the Auburn series specifically, to look ahead a little bit. So certainly the Hurricanes, we mentioned a last episode about our hearts going out to everybody with the Hurricane Milton reliefs. But North Carolina and that section of the country also had their own respective hurricane issues a couple weeks prior. And because of that, the Columbus Classic was not able to occur. That was Columbus, Georgia, was supposed to be hosting the College Hockey South Women's Tournament called the Columbus Classic, which Alabama was not originally going to be in that because that was the weekend of the Georgia-Alabama football game. So of course, you're not going to have the team participate in that because of everything going on. But because of the tournament got postponed because of the hurricane issues, and now it's the weekend of November 17th. And because of that, the women's hockey team has said, yes, we're able to go. We're able to participate in it. And we were talking with Kira about this, not so much on the podcast, but in between, that they kept looking at tournaments and games that they were wanting to participate in. And every weekend in November just ended up a lot of the players and coaching staff were saying, well, this weekend's busy, or I can't do this weekend, or, oh, it's Thanksgiving already, so we're going into breaks and what have you. But now, with the tournament being moved, they're able to pick up and immediately head out to Georgia for the Columbus Classic. So another set of games to add on and a lot of great teams that they're able to participate in this one.
Yes, I agree. And I think it's great that these girls, like, not only, like, these Auburn games were supposed to be their last series of the fall semester, and I think it's great that they get one more, not only series, but now tournament, under their belts before heading into the spring semester games.
And the schedule for that has been released by College Hockey South, Preston, in that you've got games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Friday, you've got the leadoff as Auburn versus the University of South Florida. You got University of Georgia against University of Tampa, and then Alabama's in the nightcap in that game against the University of Miami on Friday. And then follow that with Saturday, you got Georgia versus South Florida, Alabama versus Tampa, which they were not supposed to play Tampa until January.
Yeah.
And Tampa is one of the teams that forced to be reckoned with in the women's division, conference defending College Hockey South conference champions from last year, and then Auburn against Miami, and then you have on Sunday Georgia Miami, then Alabama South Florida, and then Auburn Tampa. So full slate of weekend hockey and a lot of matchups for the Alabama women's hockey team that they just weren't expecting to really play, but now they've been able to pick it up.
Absolutely, and I think we're kind of excited about that Tampa game just because that means when we go on the road and we do end up playing them, I think it's going to just have so much more like to provide, because then it's going to be a rematch. You know, no matter who wins, yep. You know, you're going to have, okay, well, there we go. We got to see who's going to come out of this one with like kind of like the rubber match almost.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see how that one goes. And I think this team has a lot of potential to go really far in that tournament. But I'm mostly just looking towards that Tampa match because, like you said, they are a force to be reckoned with. And I think Alabama is kind of a dark horse team coming in. So I think it's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, and the Tampa Lady Spartans, they won the Columbus Classic. This is the second year that they're hosting this event as well. So hopefully you have fun on that one. I'm going to be, boo-hoo me, I'll be in Florida that weekend. I got the national championships for high school eight-man football, so I'm sure you'll be enjoying calling that one. Hopefully you get a broadcast partner, because that was a little rough on the South Carolina series. I should have said we should have gotten Hannah to come on the road with us last second. She would have been great to call games with, but good stuff for the women's hockey team. They get to pick up the Columbus Classic and be able to participate in it with the delays and the rescheduling and everything. So should be fun. But this weekend, we've got a fun one for the first ever Iron Cup. Now, you're on the social media team. You're yes. on the back end of things. You're looking at a lot of the certain elements and pomp and circumstance of this. Certainly on paper, Alabama versus Auburn, always intense, no matter what right. sport you look at. But I'm interested to know from your perspective, what sort of festivities are being planned by the team for the first event?
I think it's more so like nothing specific as of right now, but it's just the excitement of going into this game. Obviously, they played last year in a scrimmage, but it was never didn't count towards anything. And I think right. this year, the fact that this actually count towards someone's record and everything will enhance the game even more. And one of the things I've been thinking about a bunch this week is the fact that, yes, Alabama is technically the home team. We're playing on our home ice. It's technically a neutral site for both teams. So it's only an hour and a half from Auburn and an hour from Alabama. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game, and I think there's going to be a lot of fans for both teams there this week.
No, I like what the point you make about essentially a neutral site in Pelham, even though Alabama plays their home games in the Pelham Civic Center, but still you're still going to have I'm sure you'll have a decent amount of fans from both sides coming out for that one, and it'll almost feel like it's an even-keeled game on the fan side. But, you know, Preston, what interests me the most is we got their information fairly quickly, which shout out to the Alabama women's hockey team for getting back to us almost within, I think, like 2 hours of sending them an email to get the rosters and updates and everything. But what interests me from looking at their lineup, you've got 2 fifth-year seniors. You got 1 graduate student. It looks like 2-3 seniors. About 4-5 juniors, rest freshmen, sophomores on the roster. So you've got a diverse group of players who are at different levels in their collegiate career. But you also got their lead goal scorer in Gabby Donato, who's leading the team at 7 goals right now. And you look at the other stats. Donato has 8 points. And now, certainly on paper, when you look at goals and points total, you got Carson, who's several goals ahead, Lance, several points ahead in that circumstance. But you look at this team, and it's not really like a top-heavy on leadership or even a bottom-heavy in that regard on underclassmen. You got a diverse group that's representing the Tigers.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the things that might help them in the long run, just because there's a lot of, I don't know, I feel like it's very, like, team-oriented focus, which sounds like a no-dip Sherlock type of thing when you're, you know, talking about, you know, a team sport. But I think, remember when we had Duffany on, one of the things that she said was that they try to give everyone the puck when they play for Alabama. So it makes you wonder if Auburn's hockey team kind of has a similar thing going on. So I think that ultimately they're going to do really good just in that regard, because they have probably a lot of depth mentally when it comes to how they interact with each other, instead of just saying, okay, these are the talented ones, go send them out. So I think, and then, you know, with this game also being something that matters a little more as opposed to their last matchup, you know, sure. Like we mentioned several times, this is, you know, a big game. I think that they're going to just try harder for that reason alone. Mm-hmm. And this is just going to be probably a good neck-and-neck matchup between Alabama and Auburn.
They also told us that this is the third year of existence for the Auburn Tigers in that regard. Nine players on their roster began playing hockey within the last 3 years. So fresh experience on the ice skating side. So their captain, Abby Lynn, is leading the team in assists right now at 2 assists. You've also got their assistant captains in Meg Albert, Caitlin Birmingham, and Allison Forsyth. But this is one of those, again, you look on at the pomp and circumstance, you look at the differences, and record-wise, Alabama's played only two more games than the Tigers right now with that South Carolina series. For, you know, when you look at Auburn's schedule, you also look at the records right now. Technically, you've got 10 points to the University of Alabama, but it's kind of deceiving on College Hockey South's website because they give points even if they're not in conference. But at least right now, it's between South Carolina and Alabama at the front of the pack for their respective teams in that regard. But for Auburn, looking at their schedule, they've so far their only games have been against Georgia Southern, 7-5 victory, and then University of Georgia, 4-3, which that tells me, with how Georgia Southern has had their struggles throughout the year, has not had a win so far. Same with University of Georgia. That basically tells me that as much as this matchup should be competitive, with it being Alabama versus Auburn, it looks more on paper like Alabama has more of a stronger leg to stand on in terms of just looking at a win-loss differential.
Yes, and I think, like, on paper and looking at stats and game history and all that stuff, it definitely seems like that. But no matter what sport it is, when it comes to the Auburn-Alabama rivalry, it's an intense game, and it's taken to another level simply because of the school's histories, like, playing against each other. And so I think we can't go into this game underestimating Auburn and what they have just because of their previous records or statistics based on their players. And like you said, like, they have a whole bunch of new players to the game just within the last 3 years. And I think that's something that some people could look at and be like, oh, like, it's such an easy game to go into. But then you look at it, and they had a close game against Georgia. And the big rivalry between the two schools is something that I feel like oftentimes we underestimate, but it's something that we can't.
Yeah, and press it, I'll tip it over to you to kind of build off of that, because you've certainly been on the student section for a lot of the Alabama and Auburn rivalries. And now this time you won't be able to put on the usual suit and fedora and all that stuff. Maybe you should on this weekend series. It'd be pretty fun. It absolutely would. We don't get any on camera shots for the broadcast stuff. We could try to do that this weekend. But you've been on the student section for a lot of these Alabama and Auburn matchups, so you even know from being in that environment that it doesn't matter what the sport is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's what I keep trying to hammer down with this game, is the fact that when it's Alabama and Auburn, both sides, it doesn't matter if it's home, away, neutral side, like, you know, football used to be decades ago. It's, you know, they really try on both sides of the puck or the ball or whatever sport you're playing, and I feel like this is no different. Because there's just something extra motivating about seeing that logo, you know, on the other side of wherever you're playing, and you're just like, I don't want anyone wearing that logo to be smiling after the game, right? Like, that's not what you want. So I feel like for Auburn, you know, if they're coming here, you know, they're probably thinking, you know, oh, we're in their territory. These are their fans. You know, that's their coaches. I don't want any of them smiling. I completely understand that. As a certified Alabama fan and non-lover of Auburn, I get that completely. So I think that even if you were to take as many stats as possible, I'm not saying they're useless, but it is something that can kind of be overlooked sometimes, because sometimes just the passion for the sport outweighs those stats. I mean, you got, you know, human beings on that side, human beings on this side. You know, whoever wants it more is going to get it. And that, you know, I said that about Vanderbilt when they played us in football. I mean, whoever wants it more, they're going to get it. So, I mean, I think that's just one of the things you have to look for when you're playing against a team like Auburn.
Are you a certified Alabama fan?
Yeah, I mean...
How do you get the certificate? I haven't gotten one of those.
It's signed at birth, man.
Oh, it's... that's right. Well, that's right, because I wasn't born in the state of Alabama. So
I technically wasn't either. I was born in Columbia, South Carolina, which made this past weekend very interesting.
Yeah, that was a rough one in Brian Denny, but they got it done. They managed to survive on the football side. I feel like we have to mention football every single time we come on this podcast, especially because of how the last weeks have transpired. I'm sure. Yeah, Kate had a whole solid take on the Alabama Vanderbilt game and such. But you know what, South Carolina, your thoughts, because you were in that student section in the morning too.
So my dad is a massive South Carolina fan, and you know all of my mom's friends who, when we used to live in Columbia, they're all South Carolina fans. So for someone like me who is constantly, you know, I'm going to say Facebook because that's where they're all at. They always see me, and they're posting pictures of me whenever ESPN like cuts me on camera and stuff. And they're like, why are you making sad faces? So, you know, for someone like me, I'm watching it, and I'm like, for everyone else, if we lose, it's, oh, Alabama lost again. We are so cooked. But for me, it's like, oh, Alabama lost again. We are so cooked. And now I have a whole bunch of people I know that are never going to let it go if they win. I mean, we lost to South Carolina, you know, way back when Spurrier was head coach.
Yep.
And, you know, Stephen Garcia was quarterback. And to this day, you know, we've beaten them twice since then. And to this day, I have not heard the end of it. So... It's one of those things where it's like I was just thinking about that most of the time. There's just so many reasons why I'm like, okay, we cannot lose this. And then we won, but it was by a single point. And those people still came after me. I'm like, we won the game. So I'm happy we won. I'm a firm believer of the win is a win system. Mm-hmm. I understand that in Alabama's greatest years with Bryant and Saban, we have – won close games against clearly inferior opponents, but that ties into what I'm saying about this Alabama-Auburn game. You know, if they wanted more, they will get it more. And South Carolina, it's just that close. I think we just decided to lock in at the very last moment and decided we wanted more.
Yeah.
But that's just the thing to keep in mind when you're playing a team like that.
Yeah. I'm on the same boat with you. A win is a win, and end of the day. Now, if Bama had lost that one, college football playoff hopes done. Finished, over the hill, especially at home in Bryant Denny Stadium. But now, as we get closer on to the season, especially because this weekend is coming up with the Alabama-Tennessee game, it gets a little bit more complicated in that regard. Were you at the game on Saturday?
I was there.
Oh, boy.
So it was family weekend, obviously, on campus. And so my whole family was here and visiting and everything. And I'm the type of person when I'm into a game, I go silent. Like, typically I can, like, talk and have fun and watch sports. But, like, that game was too stressful for me. So I was standing, like, in the stands, like, arms crossed, like, dead eye contact.
ESPN should have caught to you on a shot of those things instead of Preston.
Like, I was so serious and so locked in. My family literally told me after the game, like, the whole fourth quarter, that they did not want to speak to me because they were so nervous that I was going to, like, flip out or have a heart attack or something. So I was like, yeah, maybe it's a good thing you didn't talk to me. Like, now I'm ready to have some fun. But, like, during the game, I'm locked in.
Goodness. I was making money with Uber and Lyft on the full weekend. I was up at like I think 9 in the morning. Yeah, 9 in the morning. Went through the rest of the night, and there were some angry Bama fans that were getting in the car at certain parts. There were some happy ones during certain parts of the game, but Crimson Tide got it done. Same with the women's hockey team. They got it done after a split series against the South Carolina Gamecocks. And just a reminder, on Friday, 3:15 at the Pelham Civic Complex is their first matchup of two against the Auburn Tigers in the first ever Iron Cup. And then on Saturday at 1:45 p.m. is the second matchup for Auburn, and not the final matchup of the semester for the Alabama women's ice hockey team as they travel to Columbus, Georgia for the Columbus Classic. All right, let's get into our odd topics for the podcast. So didn't really have that many ideas this week. We always try to morph in some other things. But we go beyond the sport realm, and we go into the music realm. So I'll start with you, Hannah. Your favorite musical artist?
See, this is something my friends make fun of me for because I'm...
Oh, and we will. We absolutely will.
I'm either, like, hardcore, like, rap, or I'm, like, straight country. Like, there's no in between for me. Okay. So it's like, it really depends on my mood.
Okay, so your mood, which country artist are you going to? Mood, which rap artist are you going to?
Country is probably like Luke Combs, Parker McCollum, like okay. that kind of vibe. I'm not the biggest Morgan Wallen fan.
I was about to say, if you said Morgan Wallen, then you would get cooked on the yeah. podcast for it.
Yeah, so I was in high school, and then recently I've been like, eh. But rap, it's probably like, I don't know, like Kendrick Lamar, Drake, like that kind of vibe. Solid. So yeah.
Those are some solid picks. I personally am not a country fan, and that was because every day to and from school in seventh grade when my sister was driving the car, it was nothing but country, country, country. So at some point, it all sounds the same to me at this point, as I'm getting a judgmental look from Andy Sukalis on the other side of the camera. So, oh, she hates it too. Okay. And she was looking at me like, huh? I thought it was a judgmental look, but... I'm not on the country train either. I mean, I can tolerate country songs now, but like I don't seek it out in that regard. This guy does though, with all his covers for country songs on his social media.
I must say I love 90s country, but like my Spotify playlist is so insanely diverse to the point where like if you were to carpool with me and I put that thing on like autoplay or something, you would get whiplash from like song to song. Like it would start off with like Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and then it would hardcore U-turn into Jimmy Buffett, and then next thing you know you're listening to Megadeth go, "Watch me become a god." Like it would
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Like it would like just completely smack you in the face. So but I love music. I grew up a musician, for those that didn't know. So I've learned so much over the years with everything, you know, I've learned. I love Queen as far as rock goes. Yeah. Easily my favorite rock band of all time. But I also have a deep appreciation for music from the 50s and 60s. Me and my girlfriend, we listen to that stuff all the time when we're cooking dinner. Like I mentioned previously, Frankie Valli is my favorite. And sometimes you get Elvis and Johnny Cash, which are like some of the bigger names. And then I like Buddy Holly, who's one of my favorites. And then you go, I'm born in the South, so you gotta love Jimmy Buffett. I don't know how Frankie Valli outlived Jimmy Buffett, but it happened. But I love a lot of 80s and 90s Jimmy Buffett. That stuff's pretty good. And I don't really listen to a lot of like current day stuff. The most I ever hear of the current day is when I'm like shopping at Walmart and I hear it over the PA, and I'm like, okay. So it's basically like the extent of that. I love big band music and show tunes, which, you know, I'm a big movie and theater nerd, so I like that stuff too. Like it's just there's so much happening on my playlist that you just don't know what you're walking into when you get in the car with me.
So what you're telling me is that if we walk into Publix while you're on your work shift, we're going to hear Jimmy Buffett or some sort of like shuffle playlist blasting from the back of the meat department.
I wish, bro. No, it's about as retail music as you can get over there, bro.
They won't let you take over the aux on that?
Nah.
But I will say, that impression was so good. I'm sure you've seen Wheel of Musical Impressions on The Tonight Show. We might need to do that for a segment at some point, because he's got a good segment there in impression. But yeah, he's got range on his voice, that's for sure. Shout out to Anya on this. She and I share the same favorite musical artist in The Weeknd, Abel Tesfaye. Fantastic artist in his regard. Been to two of his concerts at this point. It's still, thus far, the best concert I've been to is both of those. More recently, like right before I started here at Bama, I was down in Tampa for that one where it was pouring rain and the concert got delayed by like an hour and a half. And that part was fun. Abel's pretty good. Also listen to a different shuffle or variety of things. You know, classic rock, my dad raised me on that, so like the Eagles, fantastic. You know, also got mostly on the classic rock side, the Eagles, but you know, Queen, love listening to their stuff as well. Frank Sinatra was also a big influence as well, like Fly Me to the Moon and other tracks that he's done. Like I said, the only category that I try to avoid is country, but like the rest of the sides, I'm pretty open. The rest of the, you would not believe the amount of people give me like song suggestions that from different ranging from like Icelandic death metal all the way down to like that. Now I heard one story of somebody who got into an Uber and their driver was playing Kidz Bop music, which it's like. No. No. I'm not even... It's just one of those where... No. That's all I can say on it. But, broad range of different musical artists and different things I've listened to over the years, but usually I find myself on the weekend train in that regard, which I kind of got disappointed a couple semesters ago. I asked people about like favorite artists. There was like an assignment I had them do where it was talking about detailing artists, like favorite song or something like that. Not one person said The Weeknd. Not one. And I was very disappointed on a class of like 70, 80 people or undergrads. I'm like, really? Not even one? But, that's my soapbox in that regard. Go see Abel at some point when you get into concert. So, it's one of those things where a lot shorter episode because we don't have a guest on here. Again, we wish Kate was able to join us. She's not able to this week. Promise, going forward, we do have guests lined up for other episodes. So that way things will be good and morph and float in that regard. But really excited for the Auburn series. Excited to be back in the booth with you. It feels like it's been so long since we called a game together because it's been like, what, 3 weeks now?
It's been since the High Point series, I think.
That's right, and that was technically... it's been a month. It's been basically a month since him and I have actually called stuff together. So excited to see that. Hopefully we can get some live TikTok reports from you during the game, unless they put you on clock again, which, I mean, you'll do it, whatever it is required in that regard. But should be a lot of fun. Final home game series of the year in terms of 2024, and then they have senior night and a couple other matchups coming up in the spring and everything. But should be a lot of fun. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
Should be a good matchup this weekend. I'm excited.
He's got that smirk on his face. Like, he knows how he wants to sign off on these things.
But not this episode. Save it. I'll save it.
He'll save it. He'll save it at some point. But any predictions on this Auburn series? Any score predictions or any like first goals, anything?
I think Alabama's going to come away with the first goal, and I think they're going to come away with it actually within the first 5 minutes. And after that, I feel like we're not going to see the second one until maybe close to the end of the second period. I think it's going to be a slugfest kind of between them. Watch me be completely wrong about that, but I think it's going to be, we start with a lot of momentum, and then maybe there's a bit of complacency, and that could happen with Auburn too. So I see it being a very even matchup just because of the kind of like the caliber of rival that Auburn is compared to Alabama. So I can't wait to see how that one goes.
And any disagreement on that or agreeance?
No, I agree. I think Alabama's going to score first. I think it might be a higher scoring game than we may be expecting, but yeah.
Yeah. It should be a fun one. We'll be live on Black Dog Hockey, and if you can come in person, come to the Pelham Civic Center. That's going to wrap up episode 4 of the Alabama Frozen Hour. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Tune into the podcast every week that releases at 5 p.m. Central on Thursdays on wherever you get your podcasts. For Hannah Alpern, Preston McElhinney, our producer, Annie Sukalis, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly, I'm Spencer Thompson saying so long from Reese Pfeiffer Hall. Episode 4 is in the books for the Alabama Frozen Hour.